So welcome, everyone. Tonight, as I mentioned, is a different format. I'm going to say a few words about Tonglen practice, and then I will go through the practice step by step, and we will have a little longer period during this meditation session, and afterwards we'll make a circle and there'll be time for discussion, further discussion on Tonglen practice. So I know last week Erica led a group Tonglen instruction, and also everyone had a chance to discuss it, and I listened to the audio tape. It was really very lively, so a lot of good questions came out. So we decided we would continue it this week. So this instruction we'll post within module 13, the current module, called Introduction to Mahayana, and this would be class 11. I wanted to point to two instructions that are already online on Tonglen. It's under the tab on our Waltham Buddhist Meditation Group called Instruction. And there are two previous instructions I have given on Tonglen, if you want to listen to those. And there are also some handouts under Class 10 if you're new. The previous class, you can print those out. They're online as well. So, as I mentioned, we're still working with the introduction to Mahayana. And this is a practice where we actually carry our meditation into the world. It's about working with others. And the practices of compassion and opening the heart of compassion, which is about expanding. It's a sense of expanding more. And working with letting go of this fixation on self and opening more to the situations in front of us and working with other people. But how do we actually do that? It sounds so great, but there we are in a situation that's very painful, and we clutch and we feel things come up again just like they always have. So the Mahayana is very practical. It has a lot of great teachings, but also it has ways of working with our habitual patterns and with the confusion and pain we feel ourselves and with what we see in the world around us. So the practice of the practices around Mahayana, we've talked about practices of Lojong and also just other practices of Maitri and things like that. And this practice of Tonglen actually resides and comes out of the Lojong slogans, the Lojong practices. So I'll explain that a little bit. So Lojong means mind training, and if you're not familiar with this, there are some good books which I'll show in our discussion. And it's about actually working with everyday situations through a series of slogans that help us remember to let go and work with the situation in a compassionate way. But what we're really working on tonight is the specific practice of Tonglen. And that's spelled T-O-N-G-L-E-N. And that's a Tibetan word, and it means sending and taking. There's another way of saying it. Right, another translation is also giving and receiving. So this comes out of slogan number 7 in the Lojong slogans. It's point 7, and it goes like this. Sending and taking should be practiced alternately. These two should ride the breath. So this is a contemplation actually using the breath. Now, usually we don't contemplate while we're doing shamatha meditation. So the meditation that I just explained was called shamatha, which is peacefully abiding or peaceful abiding. And this practice is actually has two components that are quite different from the shamatha meditation. And one is we're actually using contemplation in this practice. So we're actually using the thinking process or the process of contemplating situations to work with our own ego clinging and to open further. Also, point seven is what's called relative, part of the relative bodhicitta slogans. The first part of the slogans are the absolute bodhicitta, and the second part beginning with point seven, and there are actually 59 slogans when we get to those again, but we won't go into that tonight, thank heavens. But those other slogans are relative bodhicitta. So really the way that we begin Tonglen is with absolute bodhicitta. And that has to do with resting in space and clarity. Just being present for a very brief moment, that's how we start. That sense of openness and spaciousness. And that's a very important point because that is the practice we do when we do shamatha. We actually are letting go into that open space. It's the same thing. We speak about it in many different ways. But in this sense, we talk about it as the absolute bodhicitta. And in shamatha practice, we talk about it very much as the gap or the space between the breath going out and in. So we use the breath as still, we use it as a technique. But it really has a practical application here. And this breath is different in that we also are actually equalizing the breath. So when we teach you shamatha, we say, don't change the breath. Just whatever your normal breath is, don't do anything different. But in Tonglen, actually we could work with equalizing the breath so that the breath in and the breath out is of the same length. And the reason for that is there's just a sense of there's a sense there of having an equality between what we breathe in and what we breathe out in terms of the practice, which I will be explaining. So this evenness helps us from actually emphasizing one technique or another, one part of the practice or another. So within the book over there that I'll show you later, it's called Training the Mind by Trungpa Rinpoche. He says, in Tonglen practice, we replace the mindfulness of the breath that doesn't have any contents with the mindfulness of the breath that does. So that's the contemplation aspect. And he also says, sending and taking, which is the name of this practice, Tonglen, is an extension of shamatha discipline. And that's because we're actually working with thoughts, we're noticing them, but we're extending that discipline further by working with the content. So there'll be a chance at the end, we'll have discussion, so you can ask whatever you want about the practice then, and we'll have more discussion on various points of it, since I think people may have been working with it more this week. Okay, so we're going to go through the practice now with a little bit of space and a discussion or a pointing out of each section, and then you'll be doing your own practice within that. So usually the practice begins with two short rings on the gong, and that's the way I'll begin it. And the way it ends is usually with what's called a roll down, which is a more elaborate way of ending, and it's a way of transitioning out of the practice into shamatha, but it's a little hard to do it on the smaller gong. So I'll just do probably another two quick gongs to make that transition so you know that we're moving back into shamatha. The practice of Tonglin is always surrounded by shamatha practice if you're doing it as a formal practice at home or in any situation. You would do usually 10 minutes of shamatha and whatever section of Tonglin, and then you would end with the shamatha practice. So we have already counted our shamatha this evening, and we will go right into the Tonglin. So first, flash a sense of openness, spaciousness, relaxation. And if an image is helpful, it could be like standing on top of a mountain and just looking out at the vast sky and the long distance in front of you. So the first step is quite quick. It's just a flash. Also, your eyes could be open or closed, whatever is most comfortable for you. And you can experiment with that at home. Then we move into the second step. And this is working with textures. So here we're working with the texture of breathing in what's hot, heavy, dark, claustrophobic, and breathing out what's light, spacious, airy, cool. So in this second stage, we just work with the alternation of breath and just with the texture of that. And it's a way, I'd say, of a warm-up to get into a real situation. So we'll work with that for a moment. If you get lost in that second step, you could also think of an air conditioner that just has a neutral attitude to what its job is, and it's just taking in the hot, humid air. It's taking in the air and breathing out the cool air. That's right, into the room. So it's taking in the hot air, cooling it, and releasing cool air into the room. And now we work with the third section, which is actually the longest time that you would spend on the practice. So this is the main heart of this practice. And again, if you're new to meditation, you may just want to listen and not necessarily participate. You could go back to the shamatha instruction that I taught in the first half hour. But you're welcome to join in if you wish. So the practice of Tonglin is one of reversing our ego clinging and actually applying our practice in difficult situations, either on the cushion as we're doing now or in everyday life. So if we were doing this in a real situation in the world, we could just start with this step, step three. So I'll describe it, and then you'll find your own examples that are meaningful to you, and they could be from your life as it is. So first is the sense of, I like to think of it as a way of opening the heart. And Trungpa Rinpoche talked about learning Tonglin as a young child in the monastery. And he talks about looking out the window and watching these children, these boys throwing stones at a little puppy and stoning it to death. And he said that that's how he always started Tonglin. So for myself, I think of when I lived in Reading, Massachusetts, and I went for a walk one day down the hill, and I saw this squirrel whose back legs had been run over by a car, and it was just pulling itself across the road. And there was a bush on the other side. It was just trying to get there. So I think of that example. For me, it starts the whole process quickly because the compassion right away flows to the pain of this little squirrel who basically was just trying to find a place to die. So you'll find your own situation, whatever it is. And then you can move to a situation in your life perhaps you saw a fight on the street. And the suddenness of what appeared in front of you and the fear that you felt, all of it seemed to happen so fast. And then suddenly someone was hurt. So there's a sense here of just breathing in the confusion, the pain, and even what you're feeling of your own fear of being there, and looking and just being present with it. And then, since you really couldn't do anything physically to stop the violence, to just breathe out spaciousness, openness, and clarity. So bring up any situation that works for you. We'll spend a few minutes on this so you can have time to find your way within this section, which is the third section of working with a real situation. You can also work with yourself if you've had some bad situation recently, or a fight with someone, or anything that's happened. You can work with your own feelings as well. And now we'll move on to the last part, the fourth part of the instruction. And this is about expanding our practice to others. So you can take that situation you were working with and expand that to other situations that might be similar, that occur in the city, this place, in other places, and throughout the world. So in the situation I mentioned of experiencing violence on the street, that could extend to things that have been happening in our cities for quite a while. In many places, that goes into violence against all people. So use your own situation and expand that. And the point here is to feel that whatever we go through personally or whatever we experience, it's very much a shared human experience in the world. So expanding out helps us to keep it from something that's just personal and helps us include all of humanity. So we'll work with that for a brief time. Turn to shamatha.